Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry to help you do church better. I'm your co-host, John Rinaldo, and I'm sitting here next to Mr. Chris Wesley. How are you today, Chris?
I am doing well, John. I just can't believe we're in the Easter season already. I mean, this is quite remarkable. It is not feeling like Easter recently around here in Maryland. For some people who follow me on social media, they know that I was in Europe. And when I was in Europe, my father-in-law, who we convinced to come down from the north, from New Hampshire, to watch our kids, one of the things we said is, like, come watch us. There's not as much snow as there is up by you. And it snowed here in Maryland while we were gone. So, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, we're in baseball season, Easter season, cherry blossom season here in the Maryland, D.C. area. So I am really looking forward to spring. How are things with you?
Dude, things are good. All I have to say is hallelujah. Woohoo! Because I can say it.
That's right. Alleluia! That's right. That's right.
Jesus Christ is risen indeed.
Yes. John has been holding on to that for 40 days.
So. Seriously, I buried it. I buried it deep, and I couldn't wait to release it, to have it resurrected again. So
yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, okay. All right. Easy there. Easy there. All right. It's always fun during this time of season, because I think we start thinking about summer and there's a lot of things that come up, and it's always a good time to just think about kind of things that are in our future. And I know for a lot of people who are in church world, this is actually a pretty prime season of hiring. In fact, one of the things I've been doing with Marathon Youth Ministry is working with a couple of parishes to help them hire their next youth minister. I know a lot of my former high school students who are in college right now or are graduating college are thinking about jobs. You know, they're thinking about positions and everything. And, you know, when it comes to jobs, I'm trying to make this long transition here, but when it comes to jobs, it's basically, you think about, okay, I want the job. And then when you're in the job, you're kind of like, all right, how does my role matter? You know, I don't know about you, John, but I have a hard time thinking that people get into their positions and are like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to punch the clock. I'm going to go in and I'm just going to leave at the end of the day. There's people want purpose. They want to rise up in leadership. And you wrote a little bit about being a positional leader and how it only takes you so far. Now, it's funny because when I read this article at first, and this is an article on John's website, johnrinaldo.com, I thought he was just talking about, oh, okay, like how do I go from a coordinator of youth ministry to director of youth ministry? Or how do I go from, you know, an admin on staff to becoming the associate to the pastor, right? But that's not exactly what you're talking about, correct? Why don't you tell people a little bit about what positional leadership means and a little bit about this article?
Yeah, absolutely. It really goes off of the idea that there are five levels of leadership, and that this idea of positional leadership is really the lowest level of leadership. It's the lowest level of influence. And it's the idea that it's based on title, and it's the idea that people follow because they have to. They follow because you are their boss, you are their pastor, you are the pastoral associate, whatever your title might be. You have father as part of your name, or doctor as part of your name. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that, yes, those titles are important. I'm not at all dismissing the idea that they aren't important. You know, a priest, for instance, goes through many, many years of formation, education that helped them be ready for their ministry. And so that title definitely deserves respect. It deserves honor. But the reality is that, as the title suggests of my article, it really only takes you so far, that at some point you have to work to build relationships with the community, to build relationships with people, to kind of take it to the next level. And the second level of leadership is permission-based leadership, which is all about relationships. At this point, people follow because they want to. Now, you know, this is pretty straightforward. This is not like a difficult concept per se, but I feel like I wanted to write a little bit on it. You know, Chris, before we started, you asked me, it's like, what was the genesis? What was the reason for this? And I think part of it is, I think in this day and age, in this culture, I think we do see this idea, this entitlement, this entitlement that I have this position, or I've got this title. So people I should demand respect. I should expect respect. People should bow down to me. Okay, maybe right. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but people should bow down to me. And the reality is, it really only takes you so far. And that if you want to really create change, you want to influence your ministry, your church, then at some point you need to take it to the next level, and you got to build relationships with people. And that's where really it's going to make a difference. Now, in ministry, it's kind of a no-brainer because most of us have a small staff, you know, so it's not like we have large parish staff, large church staffs, and me as the pastor or me as the pastor. So they have all these people under me in my organization. People come to church because they want to. People yeah. give because they want to. And there's nothing that would stop them from leaving if they don't like you, you know, or you try to lord it over them that I have the title of father or I have the title of director right. of youth ministry or whatever. And so really I just wanted to flush that idea out a little bit and to kind of get people thinking about their own personal leadership and where are you leading from? Are you just leading from the basic level of title, of position? Or are you working to kind of raise that level because you're going to be more effective and more efficient?
Yeah, you know, and I think you're right on all those counts. You know, just kind of to sum it up, if you are the boss, it doesn't mean you are a leader. And I think that's something that we constantly confuse. And I know that there was a situation where a coworker of mine was reporting to me and we were just in kind of an argument and the unfortunate part was it was during a staff restructuring. And I don't think that we were necessarily set up for success in regards to the fact that me and my coworker were going from peers to I was becoming her supervisor. And so there was just this one time where we were just arguing and it's almost kind of like, I just said, well, I'm the boss. In fact, I probably did say like, I'm the boss, you know, like I'm going to make this decision. And what was really hard is she and I were friends and I could tell that those words just like hurt her and I lost respect in her eyes. And, you know, Graham, we were able to recover from that and everything like that. But I realized that from that point on, I had to earn that kind of leadership, that kind of mentor or person that she was going to see worth following. And if I was just going to throw around the B word, the boss word, that really I would get things done, but I wouldn't have the motivation or the heart behind that. And I think that's something that we constantly have to remind ourselves. Now that's easy for, this is definitely a subject for people who are pastors, associates, pastors, business managers, if you manage anybody. But I'm sure there's some people like youth ministers or DREs or who are listening to this, but I think this applies not just to, you know, your staff employees, but also your volunteers as well.
Sure. Yeah. I think it applies to everybody, quite honestly, because, you know, the reality is you need people around you. I need people around me who are going to help me do my ministry. This is not right. something you and I do by ourselves. We do it right. with people. And so we got to get good at being and working with people. And so, yeah, if you're a youth ministry leader or a DRE, you've got people that you're working with. A lot of them are going to be volunteers, right? And so there is a true test of leadership where, you know, that is truly based on leadership or truly based on relationship, you know, and I think we need to work on that all individually. And one of the things I don't go into in this article and I always wanted to be really careful, it's like, I don't want to poo-poo positional leadership. I don't want to poo-poo titles because there's a time and a place for that, and it is important. So I'm not at all saying it's important. What I am saying is, like, you're going to get more done. You know, you're going to be more effective. You're going to bring more people to God and more people into the church if you raise that level to do it based on relationship.
Well, and you're right. But I think, like, what we have to be clear on, too, is if you're in that positional leadership, don't assume that that's all you need. But then at the same time, like if you are on the other end of that, like if you're not the employer, but you're the employee or you're the volunteer, not the staff person, you also have to walk in with an amount of respect too. And it goes back to, you mentioned a problem with entitlement, right? Like are people too entitled when they walk into that position? And I think, you know, so often we blame it on a millennial thing or a young person thing, but I've seen that like happen with many different generations. You know, another thing is sometimes when there's turnover in a staff and you've been there for, you know, multiple years or even decades, you can't assume that all of a sudden you're going to maintain this stage or mentor or kind of leadership position that you once have. Because when new leadership comes in, when a new pastor or a new boss comes in, basically you're going to have to not necessarily start over again, but refocus exactly how your position is and appears towards others. And I think that's something that we sometimes lose sight of. So it's not just for the people who have this positional leadership position over their employees or their volunteers, but for those of us who are on the other end, like, you know, walking in. And I, you know, for me, this is kind of relevant right now because my pastor, I have more in parish experience than he does. And he's been a priest longer than I've been an employee in a parish, but he used to work for the USCCB and, you know, just different positions here. But he's only been a pastor for, you know, 4 years, where I've been in church ministry for 14. So it's kind of like, again, you've got to revisit. I'm not going to walk in and say, well, Father, you know, so-and-so, this mm-hmm. is how you do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be a job suicide for me right there. And it wouldn't be, you know, making myself a leader. And mm-hmm. I think even if you aren't in a positional leadership position, you can still be a leader. And there are a couple of things that we can do. And you touch upon a little bit of that, not just for employees, but also for leaders. There are a couple strategies you mentioned in the article about how you can raise that level of leadership.
And these aren't the only ways, obviously, but these are the things that really come to mind. And I look back at my, you know, more recent experience, and the things that were really effective for me, these were the things that were really most effective for me in kind of winning people over. Now, a caveat with that, you know, John Ronaldo is an extrovert. I smile all the time, you know, and so, you know, for me, one of the things I want to be sensitive when I'm writing these things is some of these things come a little bit more natural to me just because of my personality and who I am. Right. And I recognize that maybe these three things, although it's not brain surgery per se, that may be a little bit more challenging for some of us who have different personality types. And again, I know myself very well, too well, probably, you know, and so these may be easy for me, but I don't pretend that they're necessarily easy for everybody. But the first strategy is be present to the community. You know, I see staff, you know, at parishes, you know, and this is true for priests as well, who attend their one mass, and that's it. And so what happens is that mass knows you, right? And you have a relationship with them and they like you and, you know, they get involved, but nobody else, you know, and sometimes I see it in, sometimes I see it in youth ministry, right? Because the default is that a youth ministry, that the youth mass happens on Sunday evening, right? Generally, you know, that's not true for everywhere. I know that, but that happens a lot, you know? And so the youth ministry coordinator, rightly so, his audience, her audience happens to be at the youth mass. So they're going to spend time there. And so they'll do live announcements there, and they'll share about what's happening, you know, in their ministry or whatnot. You know, but what about the rest of the masses? There are youth at all the masses, for instance, you know, and there are parents of youth at all the masses. And so the idea of being present at all the masses, I think, is super important. Is it a long day? Yeah. Do you have a mass at 6:30 a.m. or 8 a.m.? And then do you have a mass at 6:30 p.m.? Yeah, but I think it's truly important to be present at all the masses. Maybe not every week, okay, so let's be realistic there, but the community needs to know who you are and not just your name and not just your title. And that takes being present at all the masses. Dude, you know, recently at parish, trying to do that and being there for 12 plus hours on Sunday, dude, that's rough. What's more rough is being there on Saturday evening for the vigil mass, you know. For me, that was even harder, you know, and although I didn't do it all the time, I was like, okay, how can I be present and do that? I just think it's important. Go out there, shake people's hands, say hi, get to know their names, get to know their kids' names, get to know their stories. But be present at the beginning or at the end of every Mass. Some of you only have 2 or 3 Masses. You know, cool, you're lucky. Some of you have 6, 7, 8 Masses. It's a little bit more difficult, and I get that.
Right.
So I think doing that within reason makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would agree with you. It's learning how to be present. And yeah, you don't have to be present for the whole entire day, every single Sunday. Although I would say, you know, it's so hard because like you said, if you only have 2 or 3 Masses a weekend, it shouldn't be a problem. But if you have, you know, 6 or 7, it really does become an issue. You know, at the parish that I'm currently at, there's like 7 Masses, and 3 of them are on Saturday nights. And, whoa, you know, it's just, and it would be an issue for me to be present for all those. And then come Sunday, I mean, it just wouldn't work for my family and I. So it is one of those things where once in a while, my family and I will be like, hey, let's attend Mass on Saturday night, you know, just be present as parishioners. And then Sunday I'll come and I work. I mean, but that's another thing, is I make my work schedule a part of Sunday as well, because I think you know that here presence is so important. And because of my presence, I know that I've been able to acquire the volunteers that I need to acquire for youth ministry, you know, and that's, I think, one of the biggest mistakes, easiest fixes that people can make when it comes to mobilizing your parishioners. It's to be that leader is just simply be present, you know, be present right there. So you talk about being present to the community, you talk about breaking bread with the community, you know, and you also talk about attend community events on church grounds, and not just on church grounds, but in the community as well. Tell me a little bit about like where you saw that really effective, you know, being present in a community event off the church grounds where people are like, John, I'm so glad that you were there. I didn't think you'd come.
Yeah, we've touched a little bit on this before, I think in previous episodes, but haven't really focused some energy on that. You know, I think we have an expectation that everybody's going to come to our church ground. So we do all of our events here. We put things on the website and the bulletin and whatnot and say, everyone come to the parish hall and, you know, and we'll have whatever. Okay. You know, that's going to work for the engaged people. But if we're serious about evangelization, we talked about this when we were doing buzzwords. That's it. We were talking about missionary disciples, and we were talking about all that accompaniment and things like that. So, you know, and the reality is people are coming to the parish grounds, and they're not going to find out about your event. And so the idea of assuming that everybody's going to come just doesn't make any sense to me. So yes, attend events that aren't yours on church grounds. Okay. So, you know, every once in a while, you're not the faith formation director. Every once in a while, show up when they're doing faith formation and meet the students, meet the parents, you know, hang out a little bit, you know, attend the events that are not quote unquote yours. The big parish festivals and picnics, obviously those are no brainers. You know, you should be there. I should be there, you know, for the big events and have our face known. But more importantly is what's going on in the community. I remember Doug Took talked about this when we did our rural ministry is sporting events. He said was a big thing in rural communities in terms of, you know, being present for the sporting events, because in rural communities, I don't think I'm putting words in his mouth, we rally around, you know, these sporting events and our young people and whatnot during that time. Well, be present at those.
Right.
I live, you know, in Morgan Hill right now, and it is a vibrant suburban neighborhood of San Jose. And we have community events up the wazoo. I mean, they're closing downtown all the time. It's much to the disgust of you know, people who are commuting every day and have to find ways around the street, you know. I'm saying, okay, when I look around, you know, and they have all these booths and festivals and things like that, and they're selling beads and shirts and everything like that, and they have information. They've got the local, you know, state parks and the county parks, whatever. It's all these booths, right? Well, there's all sorts of church booths there as well, right? You know, and oftentimes the evangelicals and non-denominational other churches are there. And I think it's like, where's my church? Why isn't my church here? Right.
Right.
You know, and I think that's partly branding and marketing. Okay. So not necessarily going there, but I tell you, in my community, when I go out walking in it, you know, when I go connecting, you know, attending our Mushroom Mardi Gras event or our Halloween, you know, event downtown, it's like the community's there. Kids are there, parents are there, and they're saying, hey, John, what's up? You know, whatnot, and I'm connecting with people. And so that's the value. It's not so much the formal, you need a booth or table. It's not about that so much. It's like, you know, there's John. John is part of this community. He's also a leader in our church, you know, but he's engaging in the community and get to know people in the community. And I think it's hugely valuable because I want to build my network wider. Okay. So personally, it's good for me and to get to know the people who are maybe part of the downtown association or part of the schools, you know, teachers or faculty at the schools, whatever audience is, I want to build my network. And the more I build my network, the more effective I'm going to be in my ministry. And I think it's essential. I think it's essential to be out there and be in the community, go where people in your community are and don't expect everybody to go where you're at. And so that's my point in that. And that point really needs a whole blog article to itself, really. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm becoming a little bit more passionate and energetic about that idea as we continue to figure out what this evangelization thing is all about.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, and I think, again, it's being present in the community. And people might be like, well, I don't want to build a ministry all about me. I don't want to make a ministry that rises and falls on my presence. And that's kind of the danger that you play with this. And that's why I would say it's not just about you, where if you're going to go out in the community, I mean, that's something that you need to do, but bring other people along. As a leader, always look at bringing other leaders up too. You know, and I think that's sort of the thing where we get into trouble. It's just as bad as I think saying, oh, I'm the boss and everyone will listen to me. The other side of it is just saying, like, I am so irreplaceable that people are going to do whatever I ask them to do. And really, you've got to think to yourself, like, all right, who's the next person up? Where are other leaders that I can raise up? And if you can be that person, you're going to raise up your own leadership because I think a true aspect or characteristic of leadership is always looking for who's that next person in line, who's the next person that you want to point other people to follow. Because as leaders, we have to acknowledge the fact that we're limited and that our timetable, our expiration date is coming, and we don't want to, not necessarily want to lose our people, but we don't want to fail them. And I think it's important to often look at, okay, who's up next in that regards?
Yeah, totally agree right there with you. And at the same time, be okay with the fact that this is about you, because relationships are about you and the people that you're interacting with. And so, you know, I think in the realm of trying to be humble or trying to be a servant leader, we kind of pull ourselves, our own personality, our own ego out of it. All good. Okay. I don't disagree with that, but yet, if we're talking about your leadership, we're talking about my leadership ability and then I need to connect with people and build relationship, then yeah, it also is about me. So let's do both, you know, and don't dismiss your role. Don't dismiss the importance that you play in the community just because someday you're going to be gone. Yes, you are not indispensable. I am not indispensable. Right. However, you're the leader right now. You're involved. So take that seriously and own it. And be okay with that. That's not bad. That's not selfish. That's not power hungry, grab, whatever. It's not egotistical. It is what we need to be doing.
So. Right. Definitely. All right. So definitely, if you want to check out that article, go to johnrinaldo.com. In fact, you can find more than just that article. You can find many wonderful articles. And John, tell everyone where else they can find you.
Yeah, you know, again, on my website, but I'm also on Twitter at John Rinaldo, and on Facebook at John M, as in Michael Rinaldo. And then I haven't shared this, but LinkedIn. I love connecting with people on LinkedIn. And so if you're on LinkedIn and have a professional profile there, connect with me on LinkedIn. Look me up, John Rinaldo, John M Rinaldo. I think you'll find me both ways on there. And so would love to connect with you there.
Yeah. You know, I don't post that as much either, but I am also on the LinkedIn. It's a fun thing to say. But you can also find me on Facebook at Marathon Youth Ministry, on Twitter and Instagram at Chris R. Wesley. And then, of course, my website, marathonyouthministry.com. And, you know, when it comes to building leaders, one of the reasons John and I got together for this podcast is we wanted to do talk about different leadership aspects on that, but also through our websites, johnrinaldo.com and marathonyouthministry.com, we're here to give you guys that personal coaching and consulting and just talk to you a little bit about how you can help your churches and your ministries hit that next level. So definitely reach out to us through those avenues. But thank you guys again for listening and being a part of this. Again, go to johnrinaldo.com to check out positional leadership. It only takes you so far. And just kind of leave you with a quote that John has at the top of the page from Stephen Covey, a great leadership guru. He says, "Leadership is a choice, not a position." So just remember that, everyone. Leadership is a choice. It is not a position. All right. Thank you again, John, for joining me as always, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.